Our passage this morning is from the first chapter of Romans. First chapter of Romans, verses 16 and 17. Let us hear the word of Almighty God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. It's the reading of God's word. You may be seated. It's interesting to think about Paul's circumstances and why he would write such words. Given he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, yes, but why in these circumstances to a place he has never been, Rome, the center of the entire Roman Empire? Why he would write to the Christians there and tell them, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." And it's easy to think forward into our own time and to think of the state of Christianity here, at least here in America, what has become of it, what has happened within our schools, what has happened within our culture and our society, the philosophical movements to do away with all authority, which includes not just secular authority, but also the authority upon which our entire country was founded. The belief in a God, and if not the belief in a God, at least the belief in the Word of God, that it is really truly the only way to establish society and to have life. And now this change of events of the culture, entering this relativistic phase of culture, the rejection of all authority, everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. How often are we tempted to be ashamed of the gospel? To be ashamed to believe the gospel, to be ashamed to speak the gospel, to be ashamed to be identified as Christians from a Reformed church that does teach and believe and preach the Bible in its entirety. We have ample opportunity for that, to be ashamed by our culture. And we've all experienced perhaps except for the very young among us. We've all had these unpleasant experiences of being ashamed of things, or being embarrassed about something. If not the gospel, of feeling guilty or self-conscious about ourselves on account of something that we or someone with whom we are associated with has said or done. We've all had those experiences. We know the sinking feeling, the ache in our stomach that arises when what we had preferred to be kept hidden is exposed. And we're ashamed. We know what that's like. If we know anything about ourselves as human beings, whether we're willing to admit it or not, it's that we are ashamed of our sin. Every one of us, we're ashamed of sin, and we're even more ashamed of the failure, our inability to deliver ourselves from our sin. And we're very vulnerable because of that. People accuse us of things It's easy to accuse us and to shame us. Well, you're racist. If you don't agree with me, you're not a loving person. You're a bad person. We're easily ashamed. So much so that we find it difficult at times even to live with ourselves. And we'll do just about anything and try everything within our power to suppress our shame. And it typically comes out in either one of two ways, either by pretending that we can somehow atone for our sins. Some people refer to that as a legalism. Or either by pretending that sin even doesn't even exist. Lawlessness. Right? Conservative legalistic religion or liberal lawlessness religion we turn to. In order to deal or cope with our shame. And yet, far from delivering us from sin and shame, the testimony of our experience and the scripture as well is that neither of these actually do that. They mask it, they hide it for a while. But rather, they only serve to increase our sin and our shame. And yet these are still the best remedies that humanity has to offer for coping with sin and shame. Beyond trying harder or becoming even more lawless, all humanity has to offer us is drugs. Drugs. Chemical substances that, for a limited time, dull or decrease our consciousness of sin and shame. And not only of sin and shame, we understand, but of everything and everyone else in our lives. And consequently, much the same as humanity's other remedies, drugs also serve in the long run only to increase our sin and our shame. And you have to understand that all of these are false, inadequate remedies of man in an attempt to deal with sin and shame, of which all of humanity ought to rightly be ashamed of. For practicing, for preaching, because these things are sinful. Sinful. Conservative, legalistic religion is sinful. Liberal, lawless religion is sinful. Churches that teach and preach these things are being sinful. At the time of the Reformation, they were considered, the churches that did these things were considered not to be churches at all. And yet we find in our culture that we are ashamed to say so. It's interesting. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We have to ask ourselves, are we? In the opening verse of our passage this morning, this is what Paul speaks of. He speaks of something for which he is not ashamed. Perhaps the one thing in his entire life that he is not ashamed of. You recall him talking about all of the glory he had, all of the things he built up. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew, a Benjaminite, a student of Gamaliel. He was all these things of which he is now ashamed of. He tells us this morning of the one thing he is not ashamed of anymore. He was ashamed of it. He used to be a persecutor and a murderer of Christians and a persecutor of the true church, Christ's body, for which he is now ashamed. But for this, he is not ashamed. Something radically different, radically opposed to humanity's pretended remedies. And solutions for sin and for shame. Political correctness is not going to solve the problem of sin and shame. It's actually going to make it worse. And it has. Look around us. It's only getting worse. The more we hide the gospel, the more we pretend that these solutions humanity offers is the way to deal with sin and shame. It's only making it worse. Paul speaks of something he is not ashamed of. Something that was a stumbling block to Jews and to Gentiles, for which they were equally ashamed. And yet at the same time, the power of God for salvation to all who believe. To the Jew first and the Gentile also. What he speaks of is the gospel. The gospel. That's what he was not ashamed of which we must not be ashamed of either, lest we also become peddlers of false, sinful, human remedies for sin and shame. He says we must not be ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel, you see, is the power of God for salvation from sin and shame. We must not be ashamed of the gospel, embarrassed by the good news of God's love and the power by which he made it possible that whoever believes in his Son, Jesus Christ, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, here, now, and into eternity. We mustn't be ashamed of that. To be ashamed of the gospel reveals a pride and a preference of human remedies for sin and shame. At base, it reveals an acceptance of those things. Well, I believe the gospel. You believe the gospel plus works. You don't even believe in sin. But hey, it's okay. As long as we be nice people to each other. To be ashamed of the gospel reveals a pride and a preference of human remedies for sin and shame. Whether by works, whether by denial of sin, whether by drugs, of which our Lord warned about all of these things. All of these things are present in his time as well, just as they are in ours. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it. You want to save your life? Recognize, first of all, you can't. In order to save your life, you have to lay it down. You have to give it to Christ. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. He will save it. For what can a man give in return for his soul? What work are you, anybody, what work is any sinful human person going to do to offer up for their soul? What can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You see, not only are human remedies for sin and shame incapable of delivering us and giving us life, they'll be incapable of delivering us and giving us life when Christ returns as well. We dare not be ashamed of the gospel. According to Christ, conservative legalism is no better off than liberal lawlessness. As much as they appear opposed to one another, both will receive the exact same judgment at his return. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And the will of the Father who is in heaven is that you believe in Jesus Christ. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Did we not do all of these things? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Conservative legalism, no different than lawless liberalism. Christ declares both lawless. And they both receive the same judgment. We must not be ashamed of the gospel. You see, because Paul says the righteousness of God is revealed in it. The righteousness of God is revealed in it. Not only is the power, the gospel, the power of God for salvation, but the righteousness of God himself is revealed in it. That is, in the preaching of the gospel, by which God himself, by which God himself saves. It is his power and it is his righteousness that is revealed in the gospel. That is, he gives his son's perfect righteousness to and declares righteous all who believe the gospel. He forgives all sin and accounts us righteous, as perfectly righteous as his son in the gospel. And through the gospel, it is revealed, he says, from faith for faith. Faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of Christ, Paul says later on in Romans. You see, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. For how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? The power of God is the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. from faith for faith. When God's people in faith, from faith, share the gospel. Not when they are ashamed of it. Not when they compromise with the world. Not when they mix the gospel with the remedies of the humanistic remedies of the world to deal with sin and shame and hold hands as one people together and say, yeah, this is how we deal with sin and shame. Whatever's right for you. If it works appeals to you, amen. Go to that church. If lawlessness appeals to you, okay, we have a church over here for that. And it's all good and fine so long as you do not claim to actually preach the gospel. And as long as you don't say that is not the gospel at that legalistic church, that is not the gospel at that lawless church. And why else would we say that unless we are ashamed of the gospel? And again, it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And from Habakkuk, nothing but faith. The righteous will live by faith. A faith that comes from faith, from the preaching of the gospel, the saving power of God, in which the righteousness of God is revealed to all who believe. To those who, though not perfect now, are guarded, as Peter says, by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We must not be ashamed of the gospel. The truth of God, the righteousness of God, the truth about all of these things, it matters. It matters for life. It matters for eternal life. We dare not be ashamed of the gospel. It's not wrong. It's not arrogant or unloving to proclaim the gospel or to challenge the perceptions of others who disagree. You don't see any of that in the Bible. That's what the world tells us, but it's not in the Bible. I mean, Jesus Christ himself empowered his people, give us the Holy Spirit so that we could go and be his witnesses to the world. Not succumb to conservative legalism or liberal lawlessness. It's not wrong or arrogant or unloving to challenge those things. Exposing lies and falsehoods of human religions is not uncharitable. It's not unloving. We dare not be ashamed of the gospel. And as we reflect at this time of year, we reflect on the Reformation. What it stood against, what it stood for, whether we were going to be ruled by men in our faith and our life, or whether we were going to be ruled by the Word of God. It mattered to them. Perhaps we haven't suffered as they did to be brought to that reality. It matters. It does. It matters a great deal whether you are saved by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, or saved by your works, or simply saved to do whatever you want to do. The difference matters. And this particular passage we're reading this morning was a passage that the Roman Catholicism, that the teachers of the time, the church in the medieval period had grown to describe for Luther, as he was taught, that this righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. This righteousness of God. He saw the righteousness of God in the law. And he was taught that this gospel, of which Paul is not ashamed, was again simply a revelation of the righteousness of God, as if it were another law. A law that he had to live up to in order to be accepted by God. And it made him very angry at God. He didn't understand why God would beat us up with the law only to turn around and beat us up with the gospel. And it was through the study of the scriptures and the Bible here and through other theologians throughout time, Augustine, who also who interpreted this differently than the Roman Catholic Church had throughout the Middle Ages, who's seen this for what it was, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, the gospel, the power of God for salvation to all who believe. He saw it as something that God was giving us. A gift. It wasn't a work that we had to stand up to. It was a gift to be received from faith for faith. From a faith and for a faith that were also gifts of God. This was God's solution to sin and his solution to shame. It's the gospel. And it's the one thing in Paul's life that he was not ashamed of. It became the one thing in Luther's life that he was not ashamed of. And as it was before in Augustine's life that he was not ashamed of. And the reformers in their lives, Calvin, Debrez, others, they were not ashamed of the gospel. And they proclaimed the gospel. And they taught the gospel. And they preached the gospel. And our church is here today because they did that. From faith for faith. We mustn't be ashamed of the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we do thank you so much for this truth that you have given us throughout time, and you have recorded it in your scriptures. And Lord, the only possible way to get around this truth is to deny the scriptures, as many have, as many still do this very day, to set themselves above the scriptures, so that they might determine for themselves how to deal with their sin and their shame. And Father, we thank you for the grace of not being like that. We thank you, Lord, for saving us from those very things, that is the darkness of which you have brought us out of. Father, we thank you for this gift of the gospel, this gift of the knowledge of the power of God that you've revealed to us, your very righteousness revealed to us and given to us, imputed to us who are still sinners. And even though we are not perfect, you declare us righteous. You take away all of our sins, and you take away all of our shame. Father, you make us ashamed of those things in the way that we used to live. But you do not make us ashamed of the gospel. Father, help us to remember this. Protect us from this relativistic culture in which we live. Protect us from these false philosophies of men who are simply returning and doing again what people who have rejected your gospel have done throughout all of history. Protect us from doing these things, from participating in these things. For Lord, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing unkind and unloving about lovingly questioning people's beliefs, because we desire for them to know the gospel. And even before that, because you command us to. We are to go into all the world and make disciples of all peoples, teaching them everything that you taught us, the entire scriptures of the Bible. So, Father, strengthen us and encourage us. Give us boldness to do these things that you've commanded us. Protect us from compromise. Protect us from the shame and sin that clings so closely still from our old natures. Remind us always that we are new creatures whom you have created and whom you have given this call to be heralds and witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people. And so, Father, we pray and lift up this prayer to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.